Thank you, Joseph, for leading us in our praise and worship. That was wonderful. Last week, it was Mark who led the praise and worship. The other week, it was Olive. Okay? So definitely, next week it is Rachel. Okay? And the other week, it will be honest, or someone else. Glory be to God. Thank you for all for coming. We continue our Bible study using Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. We are using the 2010 e-edition, and the copyright information page is our page one. All right? Last week, the topic was enthroned with Jesus. All right? Basically, we can sit on thrones, okay, in the kingdom of God. Okay? We can sit on thrones, which, as we learned, are all a part of Jesus' throne. Okay? So we have a choice to make. Either to sit with Jesus on his throne, as Revelation 3:21 says, or to simply stand before that throne. Okay? As we see in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Those who will sit on Jesus' throne will be those who did not deviate from their devotion to the first and greatest commandment, which is loving the Lord. And we can be those overcomers. Okay? The invitation is to whosoever will. All right? Yes, we can be among them. But the mere fact that we are studying about this, and the Bible is so clear that that opportunity is available, means that we can be among those people to sit on thrones, okay, in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, today's topic, I've entitled it Grace, Grace, and More Grace. All right? Grace, Grace, and More Grace. We all need the grace of God, and we all need a lot of grace. And we all need more grace each and every day. All right? All the things that we are supposed to do as Christians, everything that we are supposed to achieve in the kingdom of God, everything we are supposed to become, all right? They can't happen, okay? They cannot be without the grace of God, okay? There is nothing we can ever achieve in the kingdom of God using human strength. All right? Using human strength, human wisdom, anything human, okay, cannot achieve, okay, the purposes of God. Okay? So, for that matter, we need the energizing of God. All right? We need God's enablement. All right? Paul said that God is not served by human hands. All right? That means he is not served by the flesh. He is not served by human strength. All right? In the same way that no one has ever saved themselves. Okay? If we were not able to save ourselves from sin, okay, it means we cannot save ourselves from any other thing. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are saved by grace, through faith, alright? So that is how we entered the kingdom of God, alright? By grace, okay? Now, while we are in the kingdom, again, that is the only way okay, we're going to achieve anything. Okay? By grace. We came in by grace, and it is grace which is going to keep us there, all right? And it is grace which is going to enable us to do anything we are supposed to do in that kingdom. Glory be to God. So that's why, you see, we need grace, okay, and more grace. Hallelujah. All right? So, for the purposes of this Bible study today, grace is basically God's enablement, okay, God's energizing, okay, God's ability in us to do what he wants us to do, or to be, or to become what he wants us to become. Glory be to God. The Bible says that it is him who works in us both to will and to obey. Okay? It is God who works in us both to will and to obey. What does that mean? It is God basically, it is God's grace which enables us to will and to obey. You understand? So that's why when you get to know that, okay, you always, each and every day, you ask God for his grace, for his enablement. All right? And the more you receive his grace, okay, Paul said that I did not receive God's grace in vain. Okay? It is that grace which enabled him to do the works which he did. All right? So, we need to receive that grace, okay? And to do what God wants us to do. Glory be to God. Our theme scriptures, we have two theme scriptures today. The first one is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Okay? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, here it says grace to help. Okay? So, this is what grace does. Grace helps. All right? Grace is God's enablement. Okay, grace helps. Okay, and we can't get grace from anywhere else but from the throne of grace. The second theme scripture is James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, "But he, God, gives more grace." Alright? Therefore he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Okay? "But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Okay? I like it when it says that he gives more grace. Not just grace, okay? But more grace. Anytime you need grace, anytime you ask for grace, there's always it is always available. Okay? And that grace is given to the humble, to those who acknowledge that they cannot do anything for God, okay, by their own strength. Okay? So they acknowledge that, and just the acknowledgement of that, okay, is humility. Okay, just acknowledging that, you know, you cannot serve God with your human wisdom, human strength, you cannot boast in anything, okay? That alone is humility. And you're the person who qualifies to receive the grace to help you in time of need. And that time of need, in my opinion, it is all the time. All the time, we are in need. Glory be to God. We are in need all the time. Okay? Of course, there are moments which stand out. Okay, as you know, and those are the moments we think that we need grace. But you know, we need grace all the time, all the time. And this grace is available, okay, and it is given to the humble. Glory to God. Amen. Joseph sent me a text message yesterday wanting me to advise him which where to find teachings on the grace of God. And, yeah, of course, I told him Womack. I told him, what did I tell you? Yeah, yeah, though Rick Joyner, of course, for him, the way he tackles it is what is different. Yeah, anyway, so this morning when I realized that God wanted me to talk about grace, I thought about you and I was like, I think I should invite you for the Bible study, but I was like, let me chill you. Yeah, but then I realized that if you want to know more about grace, okay, in addition to all the books you're reading and what you're listening to, one of the key books you should read, study, is The Final Quest. Glory be to God. The Final Quest provides a very sober balance. If you just do some other things and without The Final Quest, you will swing the other side. And you start saying, it doesn't matter why, it doesn't matter what you do, you know. The Final Quest will tell you that it matters what you do. You understand? It matters what you do and God is seeing it. The thing that he doesn't see nothing, he only sees the blood. You know, he sees what his son did for you on the cross. You know, That is, you know, Then you read The Final Quest, okay, he sees actually, okay? And 2 Corinthians 5:9-10, okay, one day we're going to give an account for everything that we did in the body, whether good or bad. It adds, it is there, even the bad. You know, that's a, So most grace guys don't what? That's why they can't handle The Final Quest. Okay? And yeah. Hallelujah. Now, let's open The Final Quest. Joan, the topic today is grace, grace, and more grace. As you have heard, we need the grace of God. We are saved by grace, you know, for us to remain standing in the kingdom that we entered into. It can only be done by grace. For us to do anything in the kingdom, you know, it takes the grace of God. For us to be whatever God wants us to be, okay, it is by his grace. Okay, God works in us both to will and to obey. It is him who energizes us for anything. Paul said that God is not served by human hands. All right? So that's why we need grace. And like we have seen in Hebrews 4:16, you know, we need grace to help in time of need. And that grace is available at the throne of grace. Hallelujah. So, let's open The Final Quest, page 63. Okay? We're going, this is essentially talking about grace to do God's will. Okay? Page 63, paragraph 5. Okay? Page 63, paragraph 5. Yeah. Okay? I'm going to start reading. This is Rick Joyner now speaking. Lord, I shouted, forgetting everyone but him. I now know that this throne of judgment is also the throne of grace. And I ask you now for the grace to serve you. You seen it? I ask you now for the grace to serve you. Above all things, I ask you for grace. I ask you for the grace to finish my course. I ask you for the grace to to love you. And he goes on and on. Okay? Grace, okay, to serve you. Okay? Grace to finish my course. Grace to love you. You understand? Eh? God would want us to ask him for grace to do these things. Okay? Last week we were talking about, the first and greatest commandment. Eh? Okay? To love the Lord with all our heart, strength, and soul, and everything. Eh? Okay? Now, you can't do that by human strength. So here it says, we can ask grace. Eh? You know, we can ask grace. God, give me grace to love you. You understand? Eh? Give me grace to serve you. And give me grace, okay, to finish my course. That's what Rick Joyner asked for. Okay? Many years ago, I heard once or twice Benny Hinn saying, and many preachers have said it, and I guess you people have heard it. There's the saying that it is easy to begin right, okay, but it is difficult to end right. It is easy to begin what? Right. Okay? It is easy. However, unfortunately, in my observation, very few people even what? Start right. You understand? People start off as politicians, man. As in, when it comes to like ministry things, the fivefold, people don't even start right. Many people. Okay? But it is easy to begin right, but it is difficult to end right. All right? And when you get to know that it is difficult, this is when you will ask, as Rick Joyner did, for the grace to finish my course. Glory be to God. Okay? All right? Don't forget, the topic today is grace, grace, and more grace. All right? If Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay? Grace is there to help for us to be and to do anything that God wants us to do and to be. Okay? Grace to help in time of need. And that time of need is all the time as long as we are in this earthly tabernacle. Alright? Okay? So, page 63, paragraph 5. Once again, for the sake of those who have just come in, Rick Joyner is speaking here and he says, "Lord," I shouted, forgetting everyone but him, "I now know that this throne of judgment is also the throne of grace. And I ask you now for the grace to serve you." Okay, the enablement to serve you. "Above all things, I ask you for grace. I ask you for the grace to finish my course. I ask you for the grace to love you." Okay? Okay, God would want us to ask him for that grace, and it is available. Okay, and when you ask him for grace to serve him, grace to love him, grace to finish right, okay, he will give it to you and you'll finish your course right. But James chapter 4 verse 6 says, "God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." So the proud don't receive grace to help them. Okay? They don't receive grace to love God, grace to finish their course, grace to serve Him, okay? And therefore, they stumble and they fall. Hallelujah. Paragraph 6, Rick Joyner, who continues to pray, he says, he tells God that, I call upon you for salvation from myself and the evil of my heart. So this love I now feel can flow in my heart continually. I ask you to give me your heart, your love. I ask for the grace of the Holy Spirit to convict me of my sin and to testify of you as you really are. Okay? So he says, I ask for the grace of the Holy Spirit to do what? To convict me of my sin. All right? So, this is where Joseph wants to study more about grace. This is where now the final quest comes in, and it gives something which almost all the other preachers have heard about. Okay? There's that, I think it is Hebrews, rather John 14 or John 16, where Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come, okay, and He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, okay? Okay, so, most preachers have heard say that the Holy Spirit, you see, it says to convict the world of sin. So they say the Holy Spirit does not convict Christians of what? Of sin. You know, Womack, all of them. See, the Holy Spirit, he convicts the world, the unbelievers of sin, so they can come to the Lord. But for believers, He doesn't. Okay? So, when I came across this, where someone is in heaven, and he's saying this, that asking for the Holy Spirit to convict him of his sin. I remember those years I told what? Elvis. I was like, by the way, Rick Joyner said, and Elvis was in shock. What? Because almost everyone is on the other side. The Holy Spirit doesn't convict what? Believers of sin. But for me, I decided to take the opinion of a guy heaven. And to be honest, I believe He convicts us of sin. Okay? However, He does not condemn us. Most of us, the issue is distinguishing conviction and condemnation. Convicting is just someone telling you that you're going astray or you have gone astray. Okay? But they're not condemning you that now I'm going to punish you, it is to let you know what you're into, that what you're doing or what you're into is wrong. Okay? And that's love, isn't it? Okay? Condemnation is basically, damning. Anyway, there's a difference. And God, wants us to ask for the grace of the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. And you see, this is where these are some of the things that mess up people. Well-meaning people. When now they don't believe the Holy Spirit who convicts them of sin. And in a sense, what they are saying is, the Holy Spirit doesn't care about your sin. You understand? Because Jesus already died for you and you accepted Him. Okay? So, they go on sinning with no care, anything when the Holy Spirit convicts them, when He convicts me, I say, devil, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you continue, He's not condemning, He's convicting. There's a difference. Alright? So yeah, people who continue in their sin, okay? And of course, when you continue like that, there's a way in which you just open up yourself for the enemy to hit you. You understand? Because already now you say you're practicing sin, and you believe, you have convinced yourself that to the Holy Spirit, it's not a big deal. To God, it's not a big deal. And man, you are in big trouble. Okay? So, God would want us to ask him for the grace of the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. Okay? So that we can quickly get out of sin if we have entered it. You know, you understand? Not for us to stay there, because the more you stay there, man, the more you are giving room for the devil to mess you up. Hallelujah. And the more you stay in there, it's like the deeper you're going to go. Okay? And we don't know how far you can go, man. Glory be to God. Yeah, you don't have to believe Rick Joyner, but for me, years ago I decided to take this opinion that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Hallelujah. Okay? So grace, you know? Okay? The topic today is what? Grace, grace, and more grace. So now there's grace, okay, of the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and to testify of God as he really is. Then he continues to pray, Rick Joyner. He tells God, give me the grace to preach the reality of this judgment. Okay, the judgment he faced, okay, at the throne room. When you remember, things are tight. You understand? All the nonsense that you did, man, is going to mess you up. He saw people, great people, who are great on earth, but nobody is in heaven. Okay? That's what, man, he said, man, this thing was tight. So he says, give me the grace to preach the reality of this judgment and testify of all you have prepared for those who come to you. I ask for the grace to share with those who are called to occupy these thrones, these empty thrones. Okay? This is wonderful. It says, I ask for the grace to share with those who are called to occupy these empty thrones, to give them words of encouragement that will keep them on the path of life and impart to them the faith to do what they have been called to do. Lord, I beg you for this grace. Glory be to God. Now, this ministered to me a lot. When he said on page 63, somewhere in paragraph 6, he says, I ask for the grace to share with those who are called to occupy these empty thrones. I saw myself there, man. Glory be to God. And I saw you there. You know, but the mere fact that you have read the final quest, okay, it means you are among those men, who are supposed to occupy those empty thrones. Okay? And Rick Joyner shared for grace to share with you what he learned in heaven. So that man, you can sit, on your throne. Glory be to God. They were still empty thrones, and said, now he knew, or he was told, that there are people still on earth who are supposed to occupy the empty thrones, but it is not automatic that they will occupy them. And Rick Joyner asked for grace that he may share with them. And by the mere fact that he wrote this book, okay, this book is supposed to have the grace, to help you, to live a life of an overcomer, that will enable you to occupy the throne. Glory be to God. So we are candidates, man, for this throne. Glory be to God. Amen? Anyway, but he ends by saying, Lord, I beg you for this grace. Okay? We started off in, on page 63, paragraph 5. Okay? He was asking for the grace to serve God. We need grace to serve God. We can't serve God with our own strength. Okay? He also asked for the grace to finish his course. You understand? We need grace to finish. Benny Hinn said, I heard him say many years ago, I just got and saved, and he said that it is easy to begin right, but it is difficult to end right. Okay? And the final quest gives us the solution, how we can end right. By asking for grace. Hallelujah. Grace, grace, and more grace. Then he also asked for grace to love God. Okay? There is nothing in our flesh that wants to love God. Nothing. All right? Nothing. So we need grace. Okay? Grace to help us. You remember? Ephesians 4:16 talked about going to the throne of grace. Okay? That we may receive grace to help in time of need. And in time of need, it's all the time. Okay? So we need the grace of God all the time to love him. All right? To love him. Hallelujah. And then we saw him in paragraph 6 asking God for the grace of the Holy Spirit to convict him of sin. All right? I am convinced that the Holy Spirit still convicts us of sin. All right? Most people don't believe that. Okay? People have studied deeply the grace of God. Andrew McCann, they all believe that the Holy Spirit only convicts unbelievers of sin. Okay? But here in heaven, we see Rick Joyner asking for the grace of the Holy Spirit to convict him of his sin. All right? And then he asks also for the grace to share his experience, heavenly experience, with those who are called to occupy the empty thrones. That includes you and I. And he ends by saying, I beg you for this grace. Hallelujah. We need grace, guys. You know that. We need grace. You can't. You see, you got saved by grace. Okay? It is by grace. Okay? That's how you entered the kingdom. Okay? Ephesians 2. We are saved by what? By grace. Now, if we enter the kingdom of God by grace, the only thing that is going to keep us in the kingdom, the only thing that is going to keep us saved, that is if you believe that it's not true that once saved, always saved. There are some people who say, once saved, always saved. So according to that, again, those are the great things. So according to that doctrine, you don't need grace to remain in the kingdom. Because once saved, always saved. You know, just get saved today and then do whatever you want. You can't get out, you know. All right? So such guys can't ask for the grace. You understand? But anyway, we got saved by grace. And it's by grace that we shall stay, that we shall stand. Okay? Romans actually talks about the grace in which we stand. All right? The grace in which what? Years ago, I used to know where all those scriptures were. Now I just know that they are there, but you know, Romans, the grace in which we stand. I was so good. And Bambi, I led people astray in some things. You understand? I led people astray. So now that's why, because I've been there, and I was, you guys just don't know me. I was one of the champions. Bridget, yeah, you know me. I was one of the champions of this thing. People think I don't know anything because now I don't shout those extreme things. But the reason why I don't shout them anymore is because I learned better. I learned that, some of these things I was wrong. I was on the other extreme. Okay, and now God somehow helped me to come in the middle of the road. Though it's possible that I'm not actually in the middle way. Okay, but somehow at least I'm not there. Where I used to be. Those things of, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Would I go to church? It didn't matter. You know, it didn't matter. God, you know, it didn't matter. Where you give, it doesn't matter. You know, and don't condemn yourself. You know, nothing matters. You know, God is love. You know, it didn't matter. And when I thought about it later, I was like, I was so stupid. Because even at that time, when I went to that extreme, I had read the final quote, but I think it's a phase which just came. And all of a sudden, you forget everything you knew. Hey, man, that was, what it was. All of a sudden, everything you knew is like, phew, out of the picture. This is a new thing. You're like, how come I didn't know it all this time? And then it's, I even knew that years ago. Okay, then I came back. Glory be to God. Okay? So the topic today is grace, grace, and more grace. Okay? All right? We need the grace of God. We got saved by grace, and we are going to remain standing by grace. Whatever we're going to do in the kingdom in which we entered by grace is going to be by grace, because grace is God's enablement. Okay? It's God's ability. You know, God works in us both to will and to do. Okay? The human flesh cannot, Paul said, God is not served by human hands. You understand? This flesh has nothing to do with God. You understand? It is in rebellion. Okay? So that's why we need God's grace, enablement. Rick Joyner, you see, page 63, he prayed, number one, for the grace to serve God. Number two, for the grace to finish his course. Okay? Benny Hinn and many preachers have said it, that it is easy to start right, but it is difficult to end right. So Rick Joyner here prays for the grace to finish his course. Hallelujah. And you also prayed for the grace to love God. Okay? We're talking about those people who are going to sit on thrones. And why are they going to sit on thrones? Because they did not deviate from their devotion to the first and greatest commandment, which is loving the Lord. Okay? Now we are seeing here that loving the Lord, okay, you have to ask for the grace to love the Lord. You're not going to conjure up loving the Lord. You understand? Make a New Year's resolution. This year, I'm going to love, that resolution is good, but in addition to it, you should also ask for the grace of God. Say, God, this year I want to love you and give me the grace to love you. You can even add, like no one has ever done before. And God will be pleased with such a prayer. Hallelujah. But as long as you add, grace to do it. Because you can't love God in human soul. You can't. Okay? Most of you have learned this by experience already. If you have been saved for over 24 hours, you understand? But some people never seem to learn it. The word can give children a boat, then they come back, you know. Eh. And all that goes just to teach you that, just come to me, and I give you the gift. I can see you want to love me. But you're going about it the wrong way. Just ask me for my enablement, my energy, you know, my ability. Okay? He works in us both to will and to do. That is grace. Okay? Paragraph 7, page 63. Rick Joyner says that the Lord then stood up, and all those who were seated upon the thrones, for as far as I could see, also stood up. His eyes burned with a fire I had not seen before. You have called upon me for grace. This request I never deny. Isn't that wonderful? Eh? God said, this request I never deny. Why doesn't he deny it? It's because he knows without it, without his grace, we can do nothing. Okay? We can do nothing. So he says, this request I never deny. You shall return, and the Holy Spirit shall be with you. Here you have tasted of both my kindness and my severity. You must remember both if you are to stay on the path of life. You must remember what? Both what? Kindness and severity. Okay? Joseph, for you once, who's studying this grace thing, most grace guys don't know the what? The severity. God is good. You understand? Man, if you understand that man, he's both a lion and a lamb. Alright? We read in the final quest earlier on, I guess it was last year, that to the young Christians, he's a lamb. Okay? To those who are growing up, he's a lion. Okay, so the other guys take this to the extreme. Then the guy, Then he said, but to the mature, he's both a lion and a lamb. So the mature now are in the middle of the what? The road. You know, So people who are just shouting only the what? The goodness of God, you know, everything. Yeah, it's good, whatever you do, it doesn't matter, you know, just know where they are. On the number line, the other side. Okay? Then if a guy comes and tells you, yeah, he's good, yes, but be careful, you know, what he does doesn't condone sin, then probably that guy, you know, is mature, All right? So, okay? And that is, by the way, in Romans chapter 11, 22, okay? Both the kindness and the severity of God. All right? So he says, the true love of God includes the judgment of God. The true love of what? Of God includes the what? The judgment of God. So does God still judge people today? This thing will get you in problem. Yeah? Joseph, this is for you. This Bible study, who's studying, you know? So, the judgment, you know, everything, why all your sins were judged on the cross. You know, he exhausted his wrath. You know, I said those things, man. Glory be to God. You remember, even you, I don't know now whether you have come in the middle of the road, because I remember years ago, I told you a story. Yeah, you remember it when I narrate it. So years ago, there's a story I had of a guy. Some guy had gone to the prayer mountain to pray. All right, to seek the Lord about something. So, and he had given go, like, he was supposed to be there for a specific number of days. All right? Seeking the Lord. All right? Yeah. So he was there then in a tent, I guess. Eh? So he was praying, seeking the Lord. And then, apparently, one day, he was inside the tent. You know, then he heard someone outside saying, someone say that, like, either thugs are coming, eh? Okay? And this guy was fasting, by the way. He was fasting, you know, eh? So he had, you know, some guy saying, you know, thugs are coming, you know, either in the night or anyway. So the guy, he feared, eh? So he broke the fast, he ate, you know, eh? Okay? Then apparently, after he had eaten, the story goes that Jesus appeared to him and told him, I don't deal with unserious people. I don't deal with unserious people. And Jesus left. Okay? So remember, I told, you know, that story to her. And she's like, no, that's not Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I don't deal with unserious people, you know. Okay? Of course, now, I had believed the story. Then Bridget and some other people helped me to unbelieve it. Say, actually, yeah. How could I believe such a thing? It is so plain. Jesus says, you'll never leave us, nor forsake us. You know, that guy, that was, you know. All right? But then later, I think it was now years later, I was like, wait a minute. Hey, that experience could have been right. Yeah, because Jesus didn't say that I've forsaken you. He just said I don't deal with you. You understand? You said this number of days. You understand? Now, I haven't yet answered your prayer or something like that. Then, just because of a cascade, then you what? So just see now, you're totally serious. You see what I mean? The guy wasn't losing his salvation over breaking a fast, but God just said, I'm serious. Hallelujah. Another thing people don't want to hear. People were like, God, Jesus can't tell you that you aren't serious. He loves you. Yes, he loves you. That's why he can tell you. You see, people have this warped thing about love. Love doesn't correct. Love doesn't discipline. Love doesn't point out what is wrong. That's why people say, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict of sin. Okay? But you see, according to Rick Joyner and what I believe, he convicts. However, he does not condemn. Those are two different things. So here was a guy, you know, totally serious. And Jesus told him, totally serious. And people said, no, that's not the Lord. That's not the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why some guys, you know, they just can't handle AVT. Because they don't see the demonstration of the love of God, you know. This pastor, Moses, assured us, truly what? Serious, that's not the Lord, you know. He's going to say, great, you know, remember that dream like 2 years ago, which Prophet Paul had, you know, where the Lord was saying in the dream that, he was basically commending me for representing him as a lion, okay. Basically, telling people about his severity. You know, Okay? His severity, telling people, Mwele serious, you just can't, you know? Alright? And in this dream, you know, God was commending me, and he said that there are few preachers who are representing me as such. And in the dream, you know, the Lord adds and says, I wish there were more. Glory be to God. God is saying, I wish there were more. I'm going to add my own things which the Lord didn't say. Okay? But I think it was implied. See, they're just stupid, just shouting, you know. You they are not representing the other side of me. You know, they are leading my people astray. They have taken people to the extreme. Okay? And say, I wish they were more like what? This Kayan guy was just what? Began a church. Hallelujah. Okay? So, rejoinder is taught by the Lord that the true love of God includes the judgment of God. You must know both my kindness and severity, or you will fall to deception. This is a grace that you have been given here. Okay? Remember, we're talking about grace, grace, and more grace. Okay? Grace to serve the Lord, grace to love Him, grace to finish right. Okay? And God says that the experience you have had, of my goodness and my severity, that knowledge, it is part of what? The answer to your prayer to give you grace. Glory be to God. So that means that every time God shows you the other side of Him, the tough side, He has just given you grace. Glory be to God. That young man who was told, I don't deal with unserious people. That was grace. So that next time you can learn to be serious. You understand? You know, start telling God, I'm going to do a 40-day fast. Then after 3 hours, if things get tight, maybe on the third day, before you break it, first ask God, say, man, God, should I? I really don't know if it was of you. Please tell me. You understand? But you just don't feel 3 hours. Just say, good security now. This one. Okay? I remember years ago, I think it was 2013. I decided to do a 40-day fast, but 12 hours. I would eat at 7 a meal. But in the day, I wouldn't eat. So I remember around, I guess it was 20th day, about 17th day. Ah, man, things were tight. Things were tight. Okay? So I was like, God, should I stop? Should I, You know where you fast? You don't feel nothing, no glory. It's just pain. And it's not like you're broke, you can't afford food. You have the money. No glory, no nothing. You can't even read the Bible. And you're like, but this kind of fast which you can't even read the word of God. Is that really a godly fast? Where even now the word of God, you don't have the strength to. Is that really? You're like, surely that's not God. Then you're going to eat. And so I prayed to God as I please. Should I? Should I continue? Then God is so good. You see, God likes serious people. Always inquire of me, Jesus said, before you make major decisions. It is there in the final quest. You told God 40-day fast. You've done 10 days. So for you to break it, that's a major decision, in my opinion. You understand? In my opinion, that's a major decision. So anyway, even one day, by the way, those days at open house, I shared this dream. Man, it so impacted people. Then that day it was Kavleta who was going to preach. But I was leading the fellowship. So before I invited him to preach, I shared it. Even before he preached, he thanked me, man, that's powerful. And I could sense that if he can just abandon whatever he had come to preach and just flow, because you could see the whole fellowship was there was a glory. And then somehow, like we all do, you have the preconceived thing. Then he came says to preach things and you could see, man, the glory dissipated. Anyway, but that's not the point. The point I want to say, so I had a dream. As I'm asking God, should I not? Okay? Yeah, in this dream, my brother had lost a friend. One of his close or friends, you know. And they were going to Mbale. Okay? The burial was in Mbale. I don't remember it where. I don't remember it, actually. But I knew there was that bit, the burial, Mbale. Okay? And so, I think I went with him or somewhere, or he went, and then he reached, I think, somewhere, Jinja, then he wanted to come back. But anyway, he proceeded until Mbale. For the what? The burial. It was something of that kind. So I woke up. Okay? When I woke up, okay, I just knew what the dream what meant. Okay? Do you know what fasting does? One of the key things fasting does to anybody, it deals with the flesh. You know, the carnal, the flesh. And it helps, you know, it puts the flesh down and it gets what? The spirit man, you know, to have preeminence, you know. All right? Fasting. That's why when you're fasting, you're usually very sharp, very sensitive to the things of God, you know. You can easily discern things. Even when you're hungry, you're in pain, but somehow the spiritual senses are sharp. Okay? So, fasting crucifies what? The flesh. All right? Now, do you know what they do in Mbale? And circumcision is basically cutting off the extra flesh. Do you understand? Okay? And their thing is, my brother at that time, and even now, he has very carnal friends. Very carnal guys. But they are religious, you know. But ukano, you know, okay? And so one of the brother had died. You see? Carnality. You understand? One of you know? And burial in Mbale, you know? Okay? And so he's going to buries, then he's, gets to Jinja once. And so they continue what? Until the end, Mbale. And God was telling me, yes, continue until what? The 40 days, you know, it is dealing with what? Your flesh. You understand? Okay. So the other guy just a scare what? Thugs are coming, you know. And someone said that it's possible that actually what he had was real, but they were devils. Devils wanting him to stop the fast. Okay. Then, before he makes the major decision of stopping, then the Lord appeared to him and told him, I don't deal with what? And serious chaps. So God showed him what? His grace. Okay? Because Rick Joyner is told here that the experience he has had in heaven when he saw the goodness of God and the severity of God, God said, part of your prayer to give you grace has been answered. So when God shows you his tough side, he has just given you grace. Hallelujah. Okay? So if you start a fast, 3 days, you know, if after 6 hours you want to eat, that's a major decision. Okay? We read in the final quest, always inquire of me before making major decisions. You know, you're fasting for something, serious, you are showing God you're serious. God says, okay. Yeah, then 6 hours. You know, I went and then people were eating and I didn't want, you know, I felt it was a bit hard because everyone is eating. Now, I didn't know what to do. Totally serious. I didn't know, but you also understand because everyone was eating. My aunt was there, everyone was eating. And I didn't, and then everyone was saying, why don't you? God said, now look at this one. You made an agreement with me now because of human beings. So who do you love more? Human beings have made you what? All right? I remember years ago, I think I was just being saved for like a year or two. I don't know whether that fast was of God. I don't know whether God was impressed with that fast, or it was just a, or he was impressed with a young man's good intentions. So it was, I think, Christmas. Okay, Christmas. So we're in holiday, so I'm at home. Christmas, of course, Christmas, you know, there's food, yeah? It's a celebration, yeah? Then for me, I was like, no, I'm fasting. I told God, because I was like, everyone now, like in the country, they're all eating. You understand, yeah? I know, God, for me, I'm like, I wanna be with you exactly, yeah? Everyone is eating, you know, yeah? Hey. Man, I fasted. So God has never told me whether he was impressed with that. So can you imagine that? From everyone is there, rice, chicken, groundnuts, peas, greens, you know, you know, soda, juice, and some stupid guy. Well, now, you know, I fasted. I finished then at around 7. I was like, hey, what, is there more food? Yeah, you know, hey, where's my food? But I was like, God, you know, everyone now, they're all in food. They're all, there's no one who's focused on you, Hey, this is not right, Yeah. But those things, God is like, yeah. Because there are guys, since they got saved, they've never had such thoughts. You understand, So I think God said, this young man, wow, Yeah, I think, yeah. You see, these are the guys I want to become what? Pastors one day. Yeah, he's doing it in the wrong way, but I can see the heart. Hallelujah. I don't know. Yeah, but it's probably, it earned me a throne. Eh? Hallelujah. Okay? So, we're still on paragraph 8. God tells Jonah, this is a grace you have been given here to know both the goodness and severity of God. The conversations you had with your brethren here were my grace. Remember them. Hallelujah. Do what? Remember them. Okay? We need to remember what, you know, Rick Joyner wrote. Eh? Okay? Those conversations, man, they will keep us. Eh? Okay? It's grace. We read it. Eh? Jesus said the conversations you had were my grace. And they remember them. Because the more you remember them, the more you go to ask for grace. Hallelujah. So this means that this book, The Final Quest, in which these conversations are written, okay? The Final Quest, it means, is God's grace to us. You understand, This book is God's grace to us. If we are going, especially, to finish right, okay, and to sit on thrones, this book is God's grace to us. Hallelujah. And so is history. Alright? So is history. Okay? What, you know, Robert Sladen, when he was 12 years, he was watching TV. Okay? Watching TV. A kid, a 12-year-old kid. Then Jesus walked into the room. Okay? And he told this young boy, he told him, I want you to study the lives of my great men and women, my generals. He told them, study them and know them like, you know, the back of your hand. All right? Then he said, he told him, get to know why some failed and why some succeeded. Okay? Then he says, and, you know, the time will come when you will teach your generation how to avoid the mistakes, you know, those who messed up, you know, what they made, you know, how to avoid them. And then he told him that, you know, if you do this work well, I'll make you, I'll see to it that you meet the generals of your generation. Okay? And he did the work well, man. Okay, he met all of them, man. You know, Of course, all the Kenneth Hagin, the Oral Roberts, the what? This young kid, man, met them. Hallelujah. Benny Hinn, actually, one time, you remember those DVDs he made? you know, of the Catherine Coleman and what. Eh? So I had Ladon say that one day Suzanne Heen bought that DVD set as a present for Benny Heen. You know, as a present. Okay? Then, you know, she went, she showed, you know, and Benny was so blessed by them, you know, And then, from that time, they established a relationship, you know, Benny and Ladon. Benny is much older, especially, he was much older than Ladon was a kid. Benny was much older. But Benny Hinn used to call Ladon, okay, to give him advice about things, ministry. Can you imagine? You're 50 and you're calling like a 25-year-old. I don't know how old he is, you know. But someone who's much older, he's not as famous as you, you know. It's rather someone much younger. And Ladon used to give Benny advice, man. He would tell him, the problem with your Benny, okay, I had it, he was saying, the problem with your Benny, you do, you know, this is, you know, I told him, don't do this, hallelujah. Okay? But you see, anyway, history, God's grace, you study, you know why they failed, why they succeeded, just like the final quest. In a sense, this is history. These are people's experiences. Okay? Region is being told, we did this wrong, we did this right. All right, and go say, that's my grace. Study, remember them. Hallelujah. Amen. Then, you know, they used to link up Benny and Ladon, you know, and because Benny loved Catherine Coleman a lot, okay, so, you know, he would link up with Ladon. Now, Ladon knew the life of Catherine Coleman because, you see, he studied her, You know, because God told us to study these people. So Ladon had all the info, the knowledge. Okay? Benny had the love, you understand? But there are some bits which he didn't know about her. Okay? So they would meet. Okay? And Benny would tell Ladon. So tell me about the time when she was over where. Then Ladon would start. In this year, you know. You know? And they say, okay, tell me again when, you know, like Benny just wanted to hear about Catherine. So, tell me the story again. Then say, Benny, I'm tired, you know. Okay. Then he would pull out pictures. Because Ladon did research. He traveled states, you know, he linked up with people who knew these people. So he had pictures, he even had benches of some guys. A bench, which they had in their church. I saw one of them when I visited his church once. A bench of which guy was it? Anyway, it didn't matter. So anyway, as they would talk with Benny, he would pull out a picture of Catherine Coleman. He'd say, have you ever seen this? And Benny said, no, give it to me, you know. Basically, Benny, he said that Benny wanted everything about Catherine. He wanted it to own it all. And Ladon said, no, Benny, I can't give you this. But he wanted everything, you know, about Catherine Coleman. Okay? I don't know where I've gone into what this thing. But you see, Bible study, most of you are from work, you know, so you can't harass you with scriptures, right? You know, this is what? Stories are also nice. Glory be to God. Not to chill. You've been in traffic. Hallelujah. But the main thing is what? History, Okay? History. Hallelujah. Amen? History. Glory be to God, And with history, you get what? Wisdom, Okay? So, man, I used to listen to Ladon those days. I just gotten born again. It is unfortunate that 1988, what? Series, which he first did, is not available anymore. 88. Where did you find it? Because I wrote to the ministry years ago, you know, to Ladon's mother, actually, Carol Ladon. But they have pics with them. I should unleash them one of these days. have peaks with Carol Lado and then with Benny Hinn, rather with Lado, you know. I met him twice those days when we were at school. Then I met him again last in 2016 twice, you know, eh? Okay, and one of those nights, you know, I met him the first day, the first evening when I was going to minister. Then I gave him money. Then the following day I was supposed to meet him again then, but that night I had a dream. And this dream, I gave him money. It was tight, eh? Like I got the wallet to pull out money. The notes were sticking on each other, eh? Okay? Meaning that it was really tight, eh? Okay? But I got the note, then and the moment I gave him the money, man, something came upon me, a presence in the dream. All right? And thereafter, this is why I'm sharing this one, a story. Eh? Thereafter, we began to walk with him. Eh? We are walking somewhere like on campus, Makere, walking with him. Then he was telling me things about, you know, any things, okay, ministry stuff. Eh? Then, at a certain point, he turned into Uroni Unyoshima. You know, he turned into Uroni Unyoshima, some guy, you know. And then, somehow, then the dream what? Ended. Okay? So, I always used to ask myself, why Uroni? You know, then it occurred to me, and I think I'm right. If I'm wrong, God will tell me. But I think it had to do with the meaning of Ronnie's surname. The meaning of Unyoshima. What does Unyoshima mean? Unyoshima is like Ninsima. Eh? Unyoshima is a Chifumbira, a Shinyaranda, but it is the version of Ninsima, I think. And it's something the one I'm grateful, Joan, what does it mean? Okay, what does Ninsima? Okay, you understand, but there's that, okay? And so, it was like, again, exactly, because that's how I say Lyadon, I'm grateful, you know, to God, for him, okay? Because of what he did in my life, you understand? The foundation he laid in my life, and even, that's why I always wanted the wisdom he had, And anyway, in that night, when I gave him the money, God, he revealed to me that, now that spirit of wisdom that relied on God for studying history, okay, had come upon me. That which I wanted for over a decade. You know, pursuit, you know, pursuit, All right? We're going back to these unserious people. Maybe there's someone God wants to sort out, because this story again now, he gets back, it has a lot of, now, I got to know Lyadon when I got saved. This is like 1998. So I began to listen to those things over and over again, man. Okay? So then I used to pray, I was like, God, take me to California to meet Lyadon. Then I used to pray that, God, let every good thing that is in Lyadon be in me. You know, the same like phrase which Smith Wigglesworth, how we prayed for Lester Sumner, if you watch the video, the God's general thing, you know, when Lyadon is talking about Smith Wigglesworth, okay? So Smith Wigglesworth, the last time he saw Lester Sumner, Lester says that Smith Wigglesworth told him to kneel down, you know, Smith was much older than him, Lester Sumner, who passed away a few years ago, was a kid, but Smith Wigglesworth, you know, laid hands on him, and he began to pray, and he said that, Father, let every gift that is within me be in this young man. Now, we're talking about Smith Wigglesworth, and he's praying for a sharp man. Then, you should listen to it as Sumner, you know, narrates it, you know, that accent and words, you know. And then he says, and let all the faith, you know, that's how, you know, let all the faith. Now, this is a guy who raised more than 20 people from the dead, you know, using his faith in God. And now he's praying for someone and saying, let all for the faith that is within me be in this, you know, all right? So I began to pray, you know, that thing of what? Let all the wisdom that is in Robert's ladder, let it be in me. All right? This is starting 1998 or 99. All right? So I say, God, take me, you know, 99, 2001, 2002, you know, many years go by, you know. Then in, I think it was 2001, Ladon made some mistake. You know, a mistake. He didn't deny the Lord. He didn't jump out of salvation. A mistake that we all do, you understand? Well, not we all do, but mistakes just like other what? Mistakes, all right? Now, so, you know that mistake, you get to know about it, it's like you're now given an opportunity to stop asking for what you always wanted from him. You understand? Because you're like, you know, remember he's still born again, but he has made a mistake. So we can say, you know, but I was like, God, I still want all the wisdom, you understand, that is within him. I still want it. I was very serious. All right? So 2001, 2002, 2003, I go, I'm working up country, very, you know, but I'm still praying, God, take me to California to meet Ladon. At this point in time, many people are like ashamed of him. You understand? But for me, I'm like, I still want to meet him, and I still want all the wisdom. You know, I was very serious. You know, so you can see I wasn't giving up just because someone has erred. But remember, they're still in salvation. They're not in witchcraft. You understand? They are, you know, and he repented, by the way. He went in front of this child and said, I've done this, and, you know, then he told guys, you guys, keep the faith. I'm sorry if I've hurt anybody here. You know, so you can see he was still what? Born again. All right? Then he said, yeah, he has to go to people to help him recover and stuff. All right? So you can see someone, he's still born again. You know, he still has the wisdom. So, you know, this young man hears thugs are coming. And woo, he jumps out of what he had covenanted with the Lord. You see? So, the way I see it, it was like now, even me, an opportunity had presented itself for me to jump out of what? You understand? And then, no, I still want to meet Ladon. I still want all the wisdom that is in him to be in me. Glory be to God. Think God realized this guy is so serious. Many people are ashamed of him now. They can't even say his name, you know, And this year, you know, So, to cut a long story short, in 2005, you know, I got a scholarship to go to California. You understand, I met Ladon twice. Yeah, twice or thrice during that time in 1 year, You know, I traveled down to L.A., Anaheim, where his church was. Met him, we talked. His church had dried up, man. You know, his church was a mega church. But man, people can be not bad, but gifted. Ladon was in his 20s. And the guy had a mega church. Mega church in America means thousands. In his 20s. Anyway, but you can see, it was a call. A call of God. Remember, when he was 8, he went to heaven. Okay. And man, in that experience, Jesus laid hands on him. Jesus gave the guy and laid hands on a kid, an 8-year kid. And Jesus told him, go and run. You know, like I did. Okay. 8-year-old kid. Go and run like I did. Then he told him that, you know, there'll be like stumbling, you know, but we take them as stepping stones, you know. So maybe even God saw that incident in the future, you know, and say so there'll be, you know, laid, you know, okay. Then so now go, you know. Then as he went, then the Lord called him, you know. Then he turns back, Then he saw the Lord, man, tears running down his face. You know, eh? And the Lord told him that, I love you, eh? An eight-year-old kid, I love you. And then he came back to the earth. But 4 years later, when he was 12, the Lord appeared to him again, say, study these guys. Know them like you know the back of your hand. All right? Anyway, I didn't give up. Okay? 205, you know. I met him, 206, you know. Then, but again, I knew I still needed, the prayer wasn't yet, what? Answered. Okay? So, you know, 207, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. How many years are those? After all those many years, I meet him. No, I'm just going for a holiday in California, Remember, we had a dream when the Lord was telling me, go for a holiday. During that time, someone gave me a lot of money. Actually, it was in the offertory. Millions of money. And God was like, I've even given you the money. You know, take a holiday. So, I go to the States with my wife and kids. So, as we are landing in San Francisco, you know, I receive an email alert. You know those emails, no? And it was saying that Lyndon is going to be in San Francisco. Can you imagine? Then I was like, Anyway, so I meet him the first day, you know, then I have a dream when the wisdom, then God was saying, now finally, after all these many years, now the prayer has been answered. Kwango, this is serious. You didn't give up when something went wrong. You didn't give up when it took long for, you know, the prayer to be answered. You kept what? Seeking, you kept asking for it, you know, honest prayer, fervent, you know, all right. Then I realized that the primary reason why God wanted me to what? To take a holiday was man. There was a divine appointment. There was a divine, you know, that was a world, you know, Can you imagine? It wasn't just to go and see which kind of states. Because while I was there, by the third day from here, I was wanted to come back. I was like, what am I doing in here? You know, but my wife is the one who had booked, it was 2 weeks. You know, So you could see the main thing was, then I realized that it was also a reward for. At that time, Elliot had begun, and I guess we had done a great work. And God was like, let me reward this guy with what? The spirit of wisdom. Glory be to God. Amen? But being serious, you don't give man. 1 year, then you stop. Something, you know. Decide to fast 21 days, and on the third day. Not even the first day, 3 hours. You know, I was feeling hungry. And then I went, I visited, and then people were eating, and then everyone was looking at me in a funny way, Then, man, it was tight, then I ate. Ulcers. Well, if you have ulcers, before you tell God a 10-day fast, you first inquire of him before you make that major what decision, Hallelujah. You know, we have to be serious with God. Whatever you do, they don't care what. You tell God, I'm going to give you 10,000. Okay? I'm going to give the church 10,000. Okay? Then as you're coming to church, I'm feeling thirsty. Then you buy a bottle of 2,000. Then you come with 8,000. God understands. I was feeling thirsty. Totally serious, God wanted you to buy the water. Yes, but sometimes people are just unserious. It doesn't matter. You see that stupid, great thing. It doesn't matter. God loves that. He doesn't convict. Whatever you do. You told God 10,000. You understand? And he heard you. And he's waiting to see. There are those things of what? Be slow to make vows and what? These days we don't read those what? Proverbs. But then for me, I really make vows. This, not like those things of a wedding, meeting, pledging, I don't. When I have the money, I give it to you. Even when I know how much I'm going to give you, I first wait to get it there. But pledging, you know. Pledging is not evil. I'm just saying me. Me, you understand? Okay? To know who are what? Serious. Now, the topic is grace, grace, and more grace. Ne? We're ending up in what? To know who are serious. Now, ask for God to be, ask for God to keep your what? Commitments, your vows. Hallelujah. There's some things you're not, there are some things you can't get. There's some things which are too precious. God just doesn't give them to unserious people. You understand? And those serious people who pursue God to that, what? The stupid grace guys who call them legalistic. They're legalistic, what? You know, you're fasting for 40 days every year. What does that add to what you know? Jesus, he did it for you. What price are you trying to pay? You understand? But it is those guys, man, who have some things from heaven, some knowledge of God. The other guys were just saying, it didn't matter. There's some things God is not going to give people who are not serious. Yes, you're going to heaven. Not like the thrones that we are talking about. Sitting on the thrones. I can assure you, there is no unserious person on those thrones. It can't be. You can't reign. Represent the Lord in God unserious. What is God saying? He just shows that I am unserious. If his representative is unserious. These thrones are not for unserious people. Forget it. Glory be to God. But, like we said, we can ask for the grace to be what? Serious, okay? I got it. Whether you believe it or not, I got all the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom that was in Lydon because of the studying of it. I got it. Glory be to God. I have it. Hallelujah. Amen. But it is not just to be there. It is to be used. All right? To do God a good work. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay? So, the final quest, that book is God's grace. You've read it. Okay? Quickly, page 55 from paragraph 9 and 10. You're there? Rick Joyner asks, that how could those who have not been given the grace of this experience have any hope at all? Remember, for him, he had an experience. See, man, thing people messed up, you know. I said, what? Then he said, but now, what about people who haven't had this experience like me? Okay? Then he says, I had a new voice say, what you're experiencing here has been given to you on earth. Every relationship, every encounter with another person could teach you what you're learning here if you keep that clock of humility on and learn to always keep your attention fixed on his glory. Okay? This means that actually for some of you, almost all of you, God will not take you to heaven to have the experience Rick Joyner had. Why? Because Rick Joyner has already written a book and told you. Are you listening to me? Because he says he was told that every relationship, every encounter with another person could teach you what you're learning here. Meaning that if you meet someone and they tell you about the goodness and the severity of God, if you're humble enough to receive what they're saying, you know, you are as good as Rick Joyner who went to heaven. And that is the experiences. You see, I've been asking myself for quite some time, and I don't have all the answers. I'm like, now like these things that are happening in Kampala with these preachers who have gone into demonic stuff. I've been asking myself, but God, why, for some people, why don't you also give them dreams? You understand? For me, you gave me four dreams. What? A series. You know, some people, you know, maybe the reason why they have refused to believe us is because, I was like, but God, why don't you give them dreams also? You know, of course, there are some who have had and they have just disobeyed, but there are some who haven't had any dream. And in my estimate, in my thinking, they are sincere. They want to know. But I could be wrong on that point. You know, there's some who are like, it can't be. This man was in heaven the other day having lunch with the Lord. What is there to seek the Lord about? You know, so there's that. But there's, and so I was asking the Lord, why? You know, it gives some people dreams. Okay? So as I saw, I've been thinking for months, why? Some people nothing, and these are really, you see them, they really love the Lord. You know, eh? And then today, when I was in my car, you follow me here, in the parking lot, I read this passage again. Okay? Where he's saying, you know, Regina, you see, he's asking about those who haven't had the experience like he has had. Is there hope for them? Like guys who haven't had dreams about it. This Nicodemus, Epaphras thing. Is there hope for them? Okay? Then, he's told, Regina is told, that every relationship, every encounter with another person could teach you what you're learning here. If you keep that clock of humility on and learn to always keep your attention fixed on his glory. And this, I think, is part of the answer. Okay? God is basically saying, just like Rick Joyner, God is not going to take every Christian to experience what Rick Joyner experienced. Okay? What Rick Joyner has written, it is God now telling the people, this is it. You know, and I think this is part of what? The answer, where God is saying, some people, I'm not going to give them dreams. If they are humble, they have the cloak of humility on, and they are really interested in only seeking my glory, okay? What you guys have experienced, the dreams, you know, when you share them, you remember every encounter, okay? If they're humble and they are really committed to the glory of God, they will know by what you share with them. Do you understand? So God is saying, those who have refused, you know, because they haven't had a dream, so they don't what? Who believe, God is saying, part of the problem, or the problem for many of them, is pride. They don't have the cloak of humility. And number two, okay, their attention is not fixed on God's glory. Whether they shout and they raise their hands, they write everything good about God, God is saying that you just don't know their hearts. You see, So just, you know, he gave me two reasons, He's like, I'm not going to give everyone a dream. I'm not. Okay? Just like Regina's experiences. He's like, I'm not taking everyone to heaven to experience what? Regina experienced. Okay? I gave Regina the experiences. I told him to write the book for you. So I'm not taking you to heaven. Read the book. You understand? If you're humble enough and you really seek my glory, you know that what Regina wrote is true and it will bless you and it will help you to make the right decisions. You understand? And I think God was saying this is exactly the same thing, you know, in your, you know, circumstances now. I'm not going to give everyone a dream. You understand? I've given you the dream. If you share it with someone who has the cloak of humility, you understand? And they are devoted to seek my glory, they will believe you. They will believe what I'm speaking to them through you. You know, and God says, I'm not giving everyone a dream. Mwagala okusaba for people to have dreams, musabe. And for some I will give, but not everybody. Because already God knows about pride. You know, abalala, on the contrary, they are not seeking my glory. They're just there, just activity, just shouting. But it is not my glory, it is the glory of either themselves or whoever they are what? Worshipping. Hey. Glory be to God. Don't you think the Lord answered my questions? Well, you don't have one. So, yeah. So he says, you are being given this experience now because you will write the vision. You see? You write the vision, and those who read it will understand it. Many will then be able to carry the glory and the power that they will need in the last battle. Hallelujah. You have experienced this vision. You are going to write it, and others will read. They won't experience, you know, they won't be taken to heaven. You understand? That's what God is saying. For them, they are to read. They will know by reading. For you, you knew by experiencing. For them, they will know by reading. And God was telling me, it's exactly that. That's what I'm doing. Some people, I'm not going to give them dreams. You know? And there are some people, I think, who are prideful. They are known for being dreamers. But on this particular subject, God doesn't. Either he has given them a dream and they have twisted it, or God is saying, I'm not going to give them a dream. And that now has messed up their pride, their ego. Because they're like, I always dream about everything. I'm known as a dreamer. And now on this subject, man, God is like, no. No, it is now just pride being spanked. Hallelujah. That I learned from what? Ladon. Pride being spanked. All right. Hallelujah. Grace. So, the final question is grace. Okay? And history. Okay? God's generals. It's grace. Any history. Not like these things that are happening in Kampala, in our circles. Do you know you getting to know about them? It is grace. That on its own is grace. Because, man, you're like, let me study this thing. You are like, this is how it began. This is how what? So never do that. Okay? Be careful of this thing. This is how you should live. You know, this thing is not just some exciting story. For me, by the way, you know, almost every day, I sit and I look, because I know like a bit of the beginning of some of the, you know, of the ministry, you understand? I was there, we began it together. Okay? So, and then I knew what, you know, the leader was supposed to do at a certain point, and God over and over told him, do this, he refused, you know? And I'm like, probably if he had done that, maybe, you know, then I'm like, I think just disobeying the Lord consistently, you understand, over like 3 years, disobeying the Lord about something very critical, it's like I think it opened up, you know what I mean? Meanwhile, the disobedience is going on, but things seems to be, you know, growing higher, better and better, But you see, God is like, yes, this is happening, but there's this thing. You see, we always fool ourselves, Okay? So God says, give 10,000 shillings to LAT. Alright? Then, you're like, Sidja Chukola, what if I give that 10,000 to Hillary? Yeah, God, I've given you a child and it's giving. Okay? Then you give to Hillary and, you know, and life goes on, what? You even get a new job, you know? But God is like, I told you, every time you get that 10,000, give it to Edith. For you're like, no, you're like, but orphans, I'm taking care of an orphan, that 10,000 which I get every month. You see, and things happen, what? You even do a wedding, people contribute, man. But God is like, man, there's something I told you to do. Yes, I did for you the wedding, but there's something. And you know it. But you think you're tricking God by doing what? Some other good thing. But God is like, hey, you know, and one day that thing is going to mess you up. You understand? And that's how Christians, we all, like, now, let God tell someone, I want you in LAT. Yeah, but LAT, I mean, which anointing, which impartation, what? I mean, then you're like, but, as in, if I don't sing in LAT, and I sing the other place, it is still serving the Lord. You say, we treat God like that. Eh? You know, still serving the Lord. I'm saying, okay, I'm not saying, but yeah, good, because even the other thing is God thing. God is like, those are yours. You're singing there, you know, but I didn't tell you there. And one day, that thing could mess you up. That thing could mess you up. You might get problems in that place. And God said, that could have been avoided if you had been in the right place. And I've been telling you for 2 years. You understand? Okay. You know, these things, man. Okay. All right. So, anyway. Page 27. Paragraph 3. Yeah, there is a sentence there, but it also has that thing of you only have true strength. You've seen it? Page 27, paragraph 3. Yeah, Rick Joyner is told, you only have true strength to the degree that you walk in the grace of God. Okay, remember? Grace, grace, and more grace. He said, you only have true strength to the degree that you walk in the grace of God. And he gives his grace to the humble. No evil weapon can penetrate this mantle because nothing can overpower his grace. As long as you wear this mantle of humility, you are safe from the attacks of the enemy. All right? You see what grace does? Nothing can overpower the grace of God. That's why we need grace, grace, and more grace. Hallelujah. Page 36. Page 36, paragraph 8. Paragraph 8 to 10. There's a sentence there which says that no one is here because he's worthy. Truly, the higher we climb on this mountain, the more unworthy we are to be here, and the more grace we need to stay. All right? Okay? The higher you climb, the more grace you need to remain there. There's somewhere where Rick Joyner says, or he was told that for some reason, those who have been at the highest, you know, points of the mountain are more vulnerable to falling. He said, for some reason, those who have been at the highest are more what? Okay? That is why the higher you go, the more grace that you need to stay there. You understand? Grace got you saved, and grace will keep you in the kingdom. Grace will keep you at any level that you grow in the kingdom. You understand? It got you saved, it will keep you standing. Hallelujah. So, always, as you know, it says, Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may receive grace to help in time of need. So the higher you go, basically, it puts you more in need of grace. Hallelujah. All right? There you go in anything, in prosperity, in what, whatever, you know, anything, you need more grace. Rick Joyner asks that, how did I ever make it to the top the first time? Grace, my angel responded. Then Rick Joyner says, if you want to help me, please keep repeating that word to me whenever you see me in confusion or despair. I'm coming to understand that word better than any other. Which word? The word grace. You know, Rick Joyner told the angel, just keep man mentioning that word. All right? Page 69, as we end. I usually keep time, but today it is 7 minutes past 8. Maybe God was sorting out some unserious person. Or someone who is on the verge of being unserious. And God said, don't become unserious. Okay. Page 69, paragraph 5. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. And he says, Paul says, by the grace of God, I was able to finish my course. This is Paul in heaven. Ranking highly man, one of the top guys in heaven. And he says, by the grace of God, I was able to finish my course. All right? By God's enablement. It wasn't my strength. It wasn't my wisdom. It wasn't the knowledge of the scriptures I had, how many verses I had in my head. All right? He says, by the grace of God, I was able to finish my course. We saw Rick Joyner in the beginning asking God for grace to finish his course. Remember? And Paul here says, by the grace of God, I was able to finish my course. All right? By the grace of God, you will finish your course. That is if you humble yourself and you ask for the grace. Remember, he gives his grace to the humble. Acknowledge that in your own strength, man, you can't finish. In your own strength, you can't do nothing. And say, now, God, give me your ability, your grace to finish. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul says, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance. Okay? He has finished the course. And so now there's a crown. Okay? How did he do it? By grace, isn't it? That's what he said. Okay? And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul says that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Glory be to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all these your children in this place. I pray for all the children that you have placed in LAT. Father, in the name of Jesus, may they always, every day, may they acknowledge their need of your ability to do and to be what you want them to be. I pray, Father, that every day I and them shall always humble ourselves and come to the throne of grace to ask you to give us your grace to help us in time of need, in time of need, in the need to stand, in the need to stay faithful to you, in the need to do what you want us to do, in the need to remain born again, in the need not to fall away, in the need to be all that you want us to be. Father, I and all the children that you've placed in LAT, may this be their prayer every day. Come into your throne of grace to receive grace to help them. In Jesus' name.